I have two readings this morning. The first one is from Jeremiah, beginning at verse 1. No, beginning at verse 4, beg your pardon. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." "Ah, sovereign Lord," I said, "I do not know how to speak. I am only a child." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am only a child.' You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you," declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, "Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant." Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God. And from Acts chapter 9, beginning at verse 1. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but they didn't see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and didn't eat or drink anything. In Damascus there was a disciple called Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go, this man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. All those who heard him were astonished and asked, "Isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on this name?" And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests? Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Christ. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, our Lord and our Redeemer. Today the church commemorates what it calls the conversion of St. Paul. It's your patronal festival day. St. Paul, a man who you must over time feel you have got to know rather well. He was a man known for his incredible passion for his calling, whichever side it was on. Before we're reminded of his story, there are a couple of questions to ask. Should it not be called the conversion of Saul of Tarsus? And was Saul / Paul converted? So let us start with Saul, Hebrew name for Paul, a man who over the centuries has been either loved or hated, leaving very little room for ambivalence. He was born in Tarsus and was a Roman citizen, a man of remarkable zeal and intellect, and a devout Pharisee. He was a teacher, thoroughly grounded in the law and the traditions of his people and his Jewish faith. His commitment to his faith and his ancestors saw him view the new Christian movement as a grave threat, a heresy to be extinguished in the name of religious purity. Unfortunately, we continue to hear of this type of zealousness and persecution around the world today. And he actively sought out those who practiced the teaching of Christ. He was present and witnessed the martyrdom of Christianity's first martyr, Stephen, when he was stoned to death. His reputation preceded him far and wide in anxiety and fear. As we know from the text, it was on his way to Damascus to hunt out more victims that his life changed forever. In his letter to the Galatians, he wrote, "For I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel proclaimed by me is not of human source. Nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ." And a few verses later, he continues, "But when God, who had set me apart before I was born and called me through his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son to me so that I might proclaim him among the Gentiles." He is saying here that his calling to follow Christ had been lying dormant since before he was born. So fulfilling the words of the prophet Jeremiah we heard earlier, "Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." A revelation of Jesus Christ. Not a conversion, but a revelation. Paul had an epiphany, a word for which there are many meanings. A feeling, a realization, a revelation. Even a eureka moment. There are so many more. But whichever meaning you choose, Paul had a profound experience, a sudden, striking realization through his encounter with the risen Christ that what he had seen as a blasphemy against his God had so zealously proclaimed was not a blasphemy at all. If we take ourselves back to that day on the road to Damascus, Saul was walking along with his companions, hell-bent on a mission of persecution, when he was struck by a blinding light from heaven, and he fell to the ground. He heard a voice calling, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" Not surprisingly, Saul was stunned and blinded by the glory and asked, "Who are you, Lord?" The reply, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. And here we see an intimate connection, for whatever is done to Christ and his people, the church, is done to Christ himself. Saul was led by the hand to Damascus. That must have been an odd yet frightening spectacle, to see the person who had come to persecute you and was most feared, blind and being led into the city, vulnerable and open to whatever might happen to him. Saul's blindness was both physical and spiritual. For 3 days he neither ate nor drank, but spent the time in a period of profound reflection and repentance. We then hear God's message to Ananias, a disciple, instructing him to seek out Saul and restore his sight. Despite his initial fear, Ananias obeyed and greeted Saul, his brother. They prayed together. Saul's sight returned and he was baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, and his name changed to Paul. The conversion of Saul to Paul is not simply a tale of personal transformation. It is divine commissioning. Paul was chosen as the apostle to the Gentiles. He was a means of carrying Christ's name to peoples and nations far beyond the boundaries of Israel. So Paul, the one who had sought to silence the gospel, became its greatest herald, enduring suffering, imprisonment, and hardship for the sake of Christ. So what can we learn from this story? To start, it shows that no one is beyond the reach of God's mercy. If Saul, the self-avowed enemy of Christ, can be transformed into St. Paul, then truly God's grace is sufficient for all. We must not despair of ourselves nor of others, but trust in the relentless love of God who looks after every soul. It also shows that Paul's experience on the road to Damascus was dramatic and sudden. His transformation did not end there. He spent years in prayer, study and preparation before embarking on his missionary journeys. Our own conversions, often less spectacular, are nonetheless lifelong. Paul later wrote, "But when I am weak, then I am strong." The places of our greatest weakness or failure, showing our own vulnerability, can become the very ground upon which God's strength is revealed. Saul's blindness led to true sight. His brokenness became the occasion for God's healing grace. Paul's encounter with Christ compelled him to bear witness, to speak boldly and tirelessly of the gospel. Each of us, through our baptism, is entrusted with the same mission, to be witnesses in word and deed, to share with humility and conviction the hope that is within us. Paul's conversion was not solely his personal experience. It would have had a marked impact on his companions, on Ananias, who, although no doubt filled with great apprehension, was obedient to God's call, and his welcome by the Christian community, which still must have had real misgivings, and the prayers of the faithful. All these things played essential roles in his and their experiences. Jesus did not walk alone, and nor did Paul. And we are called to accompany one another, to forgive and to welcome all who the Lord calls. So as Paul began each of his letters, "Brothers and sisters," what does the road to Damascus mean for each of us today? Perhaps there are areas in our lives where we resist God's call, where pride, prejudice, fear, or just bog pig-headedness hold us back. Let us pray for open hearts, hearts ready to be interrupted by grace, ready to forgive and be forgiven, ready to encounter Christ anew in prayer, in the sacrament and in the neighbours, in our neighbours. So whether you consider Paul's story to be one of conversion or one of revelation, it assures us that God is forever at work, drawing all people to himself. The road to Damascus is not merely a path in ancient Syria. It is a spiritual journey open to each of us. May we, like St. Paul, respond with openness, courage, and unwavering trust in God's transforming love. Let us pray. Gracious God, when we're uncertain of the way ahead, the journey of life presenting unexpected difficulties and dangers, like St. Paul, give us courage to walk in faith, trusting you to lead us, however unsteady our progress and daunting the challenge before us. Teach us to take one step at a time and to leave the rest to you. Amen.